So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris 2CB.
And my name is R2D2 Bean. And today we are covering a song called Yikes. And we're going to need some help from Jordan C. Johnson. Jordan, where the fuck are you?
I am right the fuck here, Travis. R2.
Thank you.
I know that's your preferred name.
You used some foul language there. And I got to say, it was a little menacing, a little frightening.
It would actually, if R2D2 just suddenly was like, fuck you.
What I mean, what the listeners don't know is you actually force us to call you R2 off air.
Yeah, I do. I let it go on the show, although it was nice to hear you say it just then.
All right. Well, just, you know, trying to do right by you.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that. He doesn't deserve that. He's forced us to call him R2 for too long.
Yeah. I keep trying to make Chris go by 3PO, but it's never worked out.
I know. He prefers to go by Darth Vader.
I mean, can you blame me?
I like to go by Jar Jar.
Oh my God, I was just about to make that joke.
Sorry, Jar Jar. So, yikes, huh?
Yikes.
Pretty excited about this one.
Yeah, this was when I was initially listening to the album, of course, Ghost Town stood out a lot. And on a lot of repeat listens, I was just so excited for I Thought About Killing You and Ghost Town. And it took a little bit for Yikes to kind of come creeping in and for me to really start to love the song.
Yeah, I think at first when I heard it, I almost wanted to take this back immediately. But it seemed like kind of obvious what it was doing. Like, oh, it's the bipolar thing, and you can hear like the different voices in there, and okay. But there's such movement to this song, both sonically and then just kind of the unraveling of, you know, his headspace. It's kind of insane where it starts and where it ends and how it's pushing this narrative along of, you know, Kanye trying to overcome his internal demons and trying to better himself before he moves on and fixes, you know, all the relationships he screwed up.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's maybe my favorite song on the album. And if the album has a banger, this is it.
Although people complain there's no bangers on this.
Well, I think you could argue there's one.
Yeah, this and All Mine come the closest because, like, they're the ugliest parts of Kanye.
Of course. And All Mine is, from what I've seen, the most popular song on the album.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that hilarious? All Mine's the one that's supposed to show the height of the mania, the ego, the negative thoughts.
If I pull up with a Kerry Washington, that's gonna be an enormous scandal. I could have Naomi Campbell, still might want me a Stormy Daniels.
And it's the one that's the most alluring, the most popular, the one that's most sonically desired.
I have a feeling people really aren't gonna like his next album.
What is just Kanye playing the harp and singing?
Hey, sounds great to me.
I'm fucking in.
Yeah, if he sings how he sang on the Nas record Everything, oof, then I'm in. Just give me that. Give me that. So we're coming off of, this is the second track in the album, and we're coming off of I Thought About Killing You. And I Thought About Killing You brings up this dynamic of the you being these other parts of himself, whether it's the mania talking to the depression talking to the mania, the stable mindset of Kanye talking to the bipolar, manic or depressive Kanye, Kanye speaking to his ego or his ego speaking to himself, Kanye speaking to haters or to specifically maybe a Jay-Z, all these people.
Really a pretty simple song, really.
Yeah. Easy to unravel, easy to...
Yeah, our shortest episode.
Yeah, so you go from that initial confrontation, I guess, with the self, and you see it build up over the rest of the track to the second part of it where he starts saying that he's going to go dumb, that he's going to bring this, that he brought this pain onto himself.
Premeditated murder.
I called up my loved ones. I called up my cousins. I called up the Muslims. Said I'm about to go dumb.
Get so before the music kicks up one more level, and he starts to get very Yeezus-y.
My last name. It's a different type of rules that we obey. Yay, 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 season, nigga, we obey.
And you hear screams in the background. The music is more aggressive, and it ends in a way that's far more manic than where we started.
I think essentially, yeah, if you're taking sort of a narrative overview, and if you're applying this to the stuff that happened in the lead up to the album, by the end of I Thought About Killing You, the Trump tweets and all that stuff and the TMZ interview had been unleashed onto the world, and then this song is a direct reaction to it, examining what happened, explaining what happened, how he feels about it, and everybody in the world saying, yikes, what the fuck was that?
That's one of the things I love is the title, Yikes, because there are people that have listened to this song, and I've seen this on Reddit, I've seen this on Twitter, that think that this song is Kanye seriously saying these views and thoughts and not paying any attention to yikes, not paying any attention to the chorus. It's just legitimately saying, like, I frighten myself and scare myself when I do things like this. This is a yikes moment. That's so funny to me.
Especially if the song, like, because, of course, I Thought About Killing You is also about, you know, how he fits into the world and how everyone was reacting to his tweets and all the crazy shit he was saying. But if you kind of take the words at face value, they're about himself, you know, and about this person, you know, he wants to kill. This song pretty openly calls out you, you know, he's tweaking off that 2CB, huh? Like it's something somebody's saying about him and he's reacting to it. So he's very much, he's suddenly inviting the external environment into, you know, the headspace pretty openly.
Yes. And this song, talking about the external, this song interpolates Juvenile's, huh? Which I guess it's not so much a question mark, but it's, huh? Where throughout the song, it's Juvenile basically restating things to somebody else. It's a one-sided conversation.
That's you with that big body bin. That's you that can't keep old lady because you keep telling the friends. You got to go to court. You got service subpoena for child support. That was that nerve. You ain't even get a chance to say a word. I know I ain't tripping.
Where the first verse is not the whole first verse. It's a long first verse. But it starts with, that's you with that badass Benz, huh? That's you that can't keep your old lady because you keep fucking her friends, huh? So the first time you get that question, that's you with that badass Benz, huh? It's kind of positive, like you get that, you got that Benz. But then that's you that can't keep your old...
I was really looking forward to this part of the show. I knew it would pay off.
That's you that can't keep your old lady because you keep fucking your friends, huh? So the one's not so accusatory, but the second is much more accusatory.
Also, his name is Juvenile, which seems appropriate. Yes.
It does. Especially, we talked about how this first part of Ye is a more juvenile mindset, an immature mindset for an adult male to have, an adult person to have. So yeah, it's kind of fitting he samples a juvenile song or interpolates a juvenile song. But you get that conflict of somebody else pointing out what somebody else is doing. And Juvenile is that person here that's kind of mocking what somebody else is doing and lampooning them a bit. So for Kanye to bring that in, but twist it just a little bit to where he's the one defending himself by using that tactic that Juvenile used to make accusations against somebody else.
It's almost like Kanye's trying to use irony.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the real Kanye, not this Yeezus Kanye.
No, yeah, the artist Kanye that's looking at himself and being like, how can I capture this? But we get into that specifically after this opening chorus. Should we get into the song itself?
Yeah, menacing, frightening, find help. Sometimes I scare myself, myself. Shit could get menacing.
I find this beautiful, and maybe that's just because I find Drake to be the most amazing, inspiring artist that we have working today, and he's the one that wrote all of it. But this is the controversial chorus that people have been going back and forth on, that like, Drake wrote it. Drake didn't write it.
Drake wrote it? Like, wrote what part of it? Like, the lyrics, the melody.
Of all the parts of the song, this is like the most straightforward and just like open.
And I mean, I find it very hard to believe that he needed Drake to write this super vulnerable self-confessional. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Also, like, look, this song's deep and everything, but like, if you just took this chorus and clipped it out and like by itself, like, it's just fucking junior high poetry. Like, it's nothing, like, it's not like a landmark chorus or anything.
But it's catchy as fuck, guys. And that's Drake.
Oh, that's true.
That's Drake, you know?
No, it's Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, so on Genius, they mentioned that this may be an interpolation of Wolves or Frank's track specifically,
which is also Wolves,
which is, was once Wolves and then once not Wolves,
but it's still the same melody as Wolves, so it's basically Wolves.
Yeah,
and they're, the only thing they're claiming that's interpolated is the melody. Which I can hear, but it seems like a bit of a walk.
Hear it, so who gives a fuck? Like, I would need, like, just knowing Kanye and any sample he uses, any interpolation he uses, like, there's a direct tie-in to what's going on in the song thematically. I can kind of see it here, because Wolves in Frank's track is about, you know, leaving the Yeezus lifestyle behind and becoming a dad, becoming a domestic partner. But to apply that, all that message to the entirety of Yikes, like, just, it only fits in the parts of Yikes.
I mean, it sounds like you pretty much just explained it.
Yeah, like, it's that Kanye that was part of Wolves that would be looking at this and being like, I scare myself. Holy hell.
You're right. I did a good job.
You did.
Good job, Travis.
But does that mean Drake was the one that was like, hey, you should interpolate your own song? Or Drake was just like, I'm just going to interpolate part of Kanye's old, like, what did he do there? Oh, well. But we get the first line, shit could get menacing, frightening, find help. And at first, we're not sure what he's talking about. What shit? What's menacing? What's frightening? And then you get the reveal. Sometimes I scare myself. And the second myself might just seem part of the rhythm of the line. But when the album cover is I Hate Being Bipolar, It's Awesome. And the first song is I Thought About Killing You, and gets at the duality of self. And even this song has the warring voices of the more conscious chorus versus the more manic verses, the repetition of myself is very pointed.
I do think, again, though, like every other line, I kind of feel like there is a bit of a double meaning to this, where, yeah, he's talking about himself. Although I will say, see, I don't know how much menacing sounds like him. I think the frightening definitely, and goes right into scaring himself. But menacing sounds, I guess you could make the argument that, you know, Jesus, for lack of a better term, the Jesus character, is sort of an imposing figure who could be menacing. I don't know if that's the word I would use in general. For me, I think it's also going right back into like the political allusions he's making all over this album, which, again, using the micro of his own experiences to explore the macro of culture. I mean, again, in that the tweets and everything leading up to this album, he's talking about free speech and he's talking about, you know, where the culture is and loving everybody and being united and menacing and frightening. I think in addition to talking about him, also can be applied to sort of the cultural dialogue right now, where it's a lot of partisanship and, you know, mob mentality and picking sides and ganging up on the other side. And it's just an extremely polarized environment. And I could easily see why someone like Kanye, who is all about, you know, love and unity and loving everyone and love is everything, you know, looking at that climate and feeling like it's menacing and frightening, and he doesn't know how to relate to that and he wants to fix it.
Yeah, that actually would make a lot of sense with, I mean, the whole song is, you know, talking about all the shit people are saying about him. But in that third verse, when he's saying, they know I got demons all on me, devil trying to make an army, strategizing the heart.
I got demons all on me, devil been trying to make an army, they've been strategizing the army.
Like, right. That feels very much in line with the stuff you're saying. I mean, I could see it being applied internally too, but that seems very pointed to that.
Yeah, I mean, and then this is kind of him dealing with it, because in the past, when he saw that, he probably just would have said, what's a mob to a king? But now that he's not feeling like so much like a king anymore, the mob is a little more frightening.
He talked about in the Charlemagne the God interview how he had lost his ego, or not lost his ego, lost his confidence. And not having that confidence can feel scary. But with that, shit could get menacing. I mean, menacing's like definition is like feeling of danger or threatening, like threaten to cause evil, harm. I think you see that coming to fruition in this song, especially by the time he's saying like, fuck what they all talk about. Like, ask your homegirl right now. Look, you had a shot at Ye, you drop everything. And even by the outro, it's starting to feel a little bit more threatening, dangerous, intense in a way that's, I think, goes along with what he's saying.
Maybe. Maybe. I still don't know if that's the word I would use, but I can see what you're saying.
And what, first part of Waves, he's like threatening to beat the fuck out of people over some girl. He's like, your bitch wants to fuck me, I'm gonna fight you. Like, Yeezus, I think at times could feel a little bit menacing.
Just a little bit.
I think it's just hard for me because at this point we've had so much recontextualization of the Yeezus character after Bound 2 and I Thought About Killing You, where all these things you're saying, like, it's hard not to just hear the clown at this point, you know, and just the completely over the top bravado of all this just seems ridiculous. So I don't know, but I mean, I'm sure menacing, I'm sure, has a dual meaning like everything else in this song. Well, and every fucking song
menacing to Kanye, like, yeah, right. The Yeezus character's over the top, but, like, it's scary to have that fucker floating around in your head.
Right.
Yeah, imagine, like, you talk about, like, the clown, but imagine if you were the person that the clown took over. And you're just like, fuck. Like,
God, I'm Bozo again.
I have to watch this go on? Like, oh, no. Like, oh, no.
Fuck. Homie, don't play that.
Yikes. So we get this repetition, the line just repeats one more time before getting into the verse itself.
Tweaking, tweaking off that 2CB, huh? Is he gonna make it TBD, huh? Thought I was gonna run DMC, huh?
I done died and lived again on DMT, huh? And you see that motif of duality coming in again with the repetition of tweakin' tweakin' off that 2CB, huh? And 2CB is a drug that acts much in the way of ecstasy or MDMA, and it's become popular. People use it, and that's what people do at drugs.
We're right? All on it right now.
Every time we record this show, we are also tweaking off that 2CB.
We finish off little DMT.
But this is where...
R2-D2.
This is where we get the interpolation of Juvenile's lyrics. So where Juvenile was being kind of accusatory towards somebody else that was portraying themselves as this rap star, Kanye is being kind of sarcastic towards what people have been saying about him. Like, they're saying that I'm tweaking off a 2CB, huh? Wondering if I'm gonna make it, and that's to be determined, huh? It's kind of him shutting down in his own defensive way these accusations. But we know from his TMZ interview that he said that he was using opioids, was using other drugs, like was having issues with things. So we know that the reality of the situation, that there was some shit going on, but he's almost in a denial of it, or the denial that people were talking about it. Thought I was going to run DMC, huh? And the run reference, you have some multiple meanings to the word run. It could be in a scared kind of way, that after the hospitalization, which the first two lines could have been referring to, that he might run from the limelight. He was off Twitter for a long time. He may not be the same outspoken Kanye that we've known. But then you could also view it as running, as in owning, dominating, making a run for something, whether that's the crown, a championship, or actually running something. In the Blueprint 3, Jay-Z, Rihanna, and Kanye were on the track Run This Town, which Kanye ended his verse with, "You trippin' when you ain't sippin', have a refill." You're feeling like you're running, huh? Now you know how we feel. So you could get a little bit of a sarcasm with, "I thought I was gonna run everything." So we get the end of this first quartet of lines that use the lettering and the huhs as kind of their endings with, "I done died and lived again on DMT, huh?" Which, again, the huh makes it seem a bit more sarcastic, a bit more ironic. Did he do this, or is he just reacting to people saying that this is what happened to him? But DMT is supposed to have a lot of spiritual components to it. People that use DMT or have used it just once often talk about spiritual breakthroughs. They have intense hallucinations that can be viewed as religious experiences. So dying and living again on DMT seems pretty standard. But by the end of this album, we know that Kanye starts to awaken to the spirits around him on Ghost Town. And we know that the next album is Kids See Ghosts, which is very psychedelic and trippy. So there is the bringing up of DMT here almost foreshadows the results of a DMT trip that come through on the end of this album and Kids See Ghosts.
Well, also, too, I mean, both of these albums are loaded with references to rebirth. I mean, there's a whole song called Reborn on Kids See Ghosts. But the first thing, of course, I think of when I hear resurrection is Yeezus. I mean, Yeezus just rose again, which is this whole song, really. I mean, we saw in the Life of Pablo him struggling with the Yeezus versus, as he's now called, the Ye. And kind of going back and forth between these characters, and it felt much more intense on Pablo. And now by the beginning of this, he admits, like, you know, I almost just let Yeezus die for good, and now he's kind of coming back a bit on this song and All Mine. And yeah, the rebirth just keeps going and going. I mean, not to, I don't know if it's right to call it a spoiler for later episodes. It's weird because like the albums have so much narrative content that it almost feels applicable. But you know, by the end of Yay, I think Yeezus actually is dead. And then on Kids See Ghosts, what's being reborn is Kanye as a new self, free of Yeezus. So yeah, it just, the cycles just are going to crazy levels by the end of this album.
And there's a specific line that you refer to, right, for the death of Yeezus?
Oh yeah, I think Violent Crimes is essentially a funeral for Yeezus. I mean, he even talks about, you know, moment of silence.
I swear that these times is the wildest. She got the scars, they serve as reminders. Blood still on her pajamas, but yesterday is dead, yeah. Moment of silence. Next should be off to college and then at the altar. Cause she know that niggas is savage. Niggas is monsters. Niggas is pimps. Niggas is players. To niggas had daughters.
It's basically just like, thank you for everything you gave me, and now I can put you to rest and move on.
Oh, Yeezus.
Which, and of course, the irony of it is at the beginning of this album, he's like, I thought about killing you, I decided not to, I'm gonna let you loose. And it's only by letting him loose, realizing that he doesn't need him anymore, and accepting that Yeezus is part of him and all of who he is, that's how Yeezus finally dies, is through not trying to kill him. By not resisting him, you allow him to die peacefully, essentially.
Yeah. It also calls into mind, I mean, later in the song, he says, they don't know they've been dealing with a zombie.
Right.
And
it just rose again.
Yeah. And that just recalls, you know, like stuff like Monster and how he refers to himself in that kind of light. And yeah, you're right. This just gets into that Yeezus attitude.
And you really see that on this song. I mean, he's sort of like a zombie with no conscience.
I feel like we make a reference to that line every other episode.
As it should be.
And you're usually on the episodes.
You know, I really shouldn't be, like, I shouldn't be traumatizing people by bringing up that verse.
They can go listen to our 2-hour and 15-minute episode on it.
Fuck. Just on the verse?
We could have talked for the verse for that long.
I would like to. Bonus episode.
God. Let's do it.
We could, you know, we could start the bonus episode with, we have to ask ourselves a question. What do all these things have in common?
Well, because the bonus episodes are their own thing now, and like we're not worried about like the length, it's become a free for all. Like Chris is telling his ghost stories, like we can do whatever the fuck we want on those.
I'm in.
See, this is the type of high that won't come down.
See, this is the type of high that won't come down. This is the type of high that get you gunned down. Easy trolling OD, huh? Turn TMZ to smack DVD, huh?
Well, I'll let you tear it apart before I go into that line, I guess.
Oh, man.
It's funny because this is the end of the Huzz, which are trying to defend himself, taking aim a little bit at what people have been saying about him, but that falls away here for the next two lines. See, this is a type of high that won't come down. This is the type of high that gets you gunned down, which seems to be maybe talking about the mania, the celebrity, the ego, just the drug use. There's a lot of highs that could be in reference to.
I see it as, again, going back to the duality of Ye and Yeezus, but the first line sounds very Yeezus, where he's saying, he's like asking, you think I'm on drugs? You think I'm tweaking all this stuff? And he's basically like, the high of being Yeezus is something that I'm never going to come down from. When you're Yeezus, you're just high all the time. You're high on yourself. But then the very next line, he contradicts that by saying, it's the type of high that's going to get you gunned down. So you might not come down, but you might be gunned down by other people. So, you know, I mean, if I weren't shining so bright, wouldn't be no shade.
Yeah, I think it basically gets to, you know, he's been persecuted a few times now, you know, with the George Bush thing, Taylor Swift, and then, you know, all the shit that's happened in the past few months. This type of shit gets gunned down, man.
Well, legitimately after his MAGA hat wearing, Daz Dillinger, who's part of the Crips, issued a Crip alert where he's like, fuck Kanye up. So there were reports like, are the Crips going to like kill Kanye?
That's so fucking stupid.
Yeah,
kind of thought it was funny.
And then when I read it, it said the Crips are gonna beat Kanye up when they see him. And I was like, ah, oh, that's so dope. They love me. That's like my brother. Your brother beat you up. Like, man, you getting out of line, bro. You tripping. I'm gonna beat you up. I was like, ah, oh, man, that's love, man. Dad's love.
Yeah, to which, like, I guess a few days later, the Crips were like, no. like, despite him saying that, like, no, he's fine. And then they're like, yeah, Crip alert's over. Like, if he wants to come help us talk about issues, please. I'm like, oh, that sounds nice.
Like, of all the Trump supporters you're going to issue a kill order on, like, really, Kanye?
Kanye's the one. Kanye's the one. But in regard to talking about Yeezus, one of the most famous lines that Kanye's had is Yeezy season approaching. And here you get Yeezy trolling OD, huh? Just having that recall to Yeezy season, Yeezy, Yeezus. You get a little chain reaction there of connecting them. But trolling OD, in this way, it seems like he is saying that he's flirting with an overdose, or that's what people are saying about him. They think that Yeezy's getting close to an overdose, huh?
Or he's trolling so hard that he's overdosing on trolling, which is... I mean, right back into what he's saying, I thought about killing you, where he's going dumb, you know, he's going to fuck the money up, he's going to destroy himself, he's going to, you know, premeditated murder himself, basically. So, yeah, it's like he's, the Trump thing is like a step so far that it's like really over the line trolling at this point, basically.
I think he troll OD'd with Lift Yourself.
Scoop dee dee whoop, whoop dee scoop dee poop, poop dee scoop dee.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lift Yourself was one of those moments. And we know that he was still working on this album between that happening and the release, rewriting a lot of the lyrics to address a lot of the things that had happened. Turn TMZ to Smack DVD.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
I mean, he addresses it hilariously on What Would Meek Do.
Yes. Scoop.
I was waiting for it.
Whoop-de-whoop. turn TMZ to Smack DVD, and Smack DVDs were Streets, Music, Art, Culture, and Knowledge DVD, that Genius credits as being a popular source for rap battles, beefs, and artist interviews. And so his appearance on TMZ made it into, especially his, because of his slavery comments, led to Van Lathan standing up to him.
Forever do you. But remember, the life that I live is as a real person, an actual person.
Now, the thing is, he said something, he said, grounded in reality. This reality has been forced upon us. It is a choice, just like when
which got into this back and forth between them. It was really heated. That would encapsulate Smack covering rap battles and beefs and resembling it that way.
And the Smack DVD thing, of course, deals with his George W. Bush line, which is, I mean, right in line with this again. You know, just people thinking he's trolling, people thinking he's being sensational, and, you know, all this anti-Kanye stuff.
And that's because on his Smack DVD, he was on it in 2007, and he talked about having conflict with Beanie Siegel and also addressed George W. Bush.
Man, that nigga Beans... That ain't no, like, studio rapper, man. That's I'm not beefing with Beans, man. That nigga don't give a fuck, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, like, I'm just saying, nigga, I'm not gay. Nigga, Don't come at me on none of that shit. Don't fucking disrespect me. I respect where he coming from. You know what I'm saying? I respect Beans gangster. I'm not gangster, but I'm not gay either. Don't disrespect me as a fucking man. That's all I'm saying.
So, and then we get to Russell Simmons, which is funny because after Smack DVD referencing beefs, we come to Russell Simmons.
Russell Simmons wanna pray for me too. I'ma pray for him cause he got me too. Thinking what if that happened to me too? Then I'm on E News. Shit could get.
And Russell Simmons had made an Instagram post saying, "Hip hop, Kanye is suffering. He is unraveling in public. We have lost friends like Chris Lighty and others who have suffered in silence. Reach out to him. He is your brother. Time for intervention. No more memes," which I never thought I'd see Russell Simmons talking about memes. "He has made your hits and stood with us in the trenches. I personally occupied Wall Street with him and worked on countless hip hop summits, as well as had the opportunity to march with him. Yay, call your brother back. Let's discuss 50 relevant issues." Some more stuff. He lists a lot of the issues. "Call your brother. I refuse to believe a black man who supports black empowerment, but now says slavery was a choice, is operating with a healthy state of mind."
Oh, boy. I mean, it basically is a longer version of that incredibly condescending pray for Kanye billboard shit.
Yes. And I think Simmons is coming from a good place, but it's also...
Right.
Like...
Also, it's condescending. Like, he's basically saying, yeah, like, the stuff you're saying is so stupid that you must be unwell, which is, I mean, not exactly a, you know, not a great way to start a conversation.
No, but it does put it in an interesting context, because while Kanye here is kind of being dismissive of it, we know that by the midpoint of this album, he himself has also felt like the mania got the better of him, that the ego got the better of him, that the Yeezus persona that's been part of him got the better of him, and that he needs to do better and mm-hmm. change. So was Russell Simmons necessarily wrong?
Well, regardless, he turns around into a pretty goddamn savage burn.
Yes. Russell Simmons want to pray for me too. I'm going to pray for him because he got me too'd, which just... Damn.
Fuck, that's so good.
It's just in response to Russell Simmons being accused of 16 by 16 women of sexual assault or sexual allegations.
I mean, what better burn could there be? Like, where the fuck do you get off being worried about me?
Yeah, but at the same time, that's very much the behavior that people have when they have an issue. It's almost that whataboutism. Like, you're worried about me? Well, like, what about you? Like, fuck you. Stop worrying about me.
Right. I mean, clearly, Russell Simmons is not in a place to be giving life advice, I think, is the point. But then, you know, again, in typical Kanye fashion, he immediately turns it right back around. It's basically like, you know, fuck you. Look at what the shit you've done. And then he immediately starts... He can't help but put himself in that position immediately and be like, well, fuck, like, what if that were me and how would I feel? Because it's like, I think that can lead to a lot of problematic, like, almost problematic levels of empathy for really shitty people like Chris Brown and stuff. But, I mean, I don't know. It's like he's empathetic to a fault, which maybe he's just ahead of the curve on everyone else with that. But, yeah, it's very Kanye.
I do love the way he frames this, though, because that negative weight is there all of a sudden, or just the self-reflection, like thinking, what if this happened to me, too? And then it's on E! News, the same channel where his wife's show is. It's fucking, I don't know. There's something really poetic about that.
Which kind of mirrors the next verse where he talks about, told my wife I've never seen her. It's like she's seeing the news reports and he's like, nope, never seen her.
Just knowing Wouldn't Leave is like the transition point in this album, realizing you have to stop being such a piece of shit to this woman who stood by you in your worst times. And though all this language is here and that he's so candid about, like, oh, don't tell my wife like, that I saw her, and like, and him being scared that it's going to end up on the channel where her show is, there's just something deep set about that, and how Yeezus being scared of that happening is almost like that part of Kanye being scared of it happening too. There's something about that that I find fascinating.
It almost shows that even despite like the mania and ego, there's still a fear of losing his wife. And because that's the tipping point of the album, we know that that's something that's like truly very important to him, if it's even breaking through here. Well, so after that, we get the shit could get menacing, frightening, find help coming back in. So it's like, despite all of the attitude he just gave us, all of the kind of brushing off of the criticisms that people have been pointing out about him, or the things that people have been saying about him, the very like stable part of Kanye, or maybe even the depressive part of Kanye dealing with the bipolar, comes back saying like, this is menacing, frightening, like find help. Sometimes I scare myself. This is the yikes. It's coming in, viewing what he's just said in that attitude.
Yeah, and touching on the, we talked about the movement of the song, like the sonic move of the song is pretty fascinating, to where in the chorus, it starts with kind of just this low thumping bass.
Frightening, find help sometimes.
And there's nothing else really going on. And then in verse one, the bass goes away and this like sort of alarm sound is introduced.
Tweaking, tweaking off that 2CB, huh?
It's just like this beep that's going off that almost just, I don't know, it sounds like a fire alarm to me. Like be warned, something's happening. And then those, when the chorus comes back in, the bass and the alarm, you know, they combine.
Sometimes I scare myself, myself.
All of a sudden, like everything carries a much different energy.
Yeah, it's the first twist on the chorus. As you're saying, that opening one just has that bass and kind of has that menacing atmosphere. But then when we get that alarm, it's a little more intense, a little bit more forceful, that you're feeling what's being said all that more. So then the first, second verse starts.
Hey, hospital band, 100 bands, fuck a watch. 100 grand and make your best friends turn to ops. I hear y'all bringing my name up a notch. Guess I just turned the cloud game up a notch. See, y'all really shocked, but I'm really not. You know,
A hospital band, 100 bands, fuck a watch. Which,
oh man,
I think is so hilarious.
Oh, it's so good.
And just saying his hospital band cost 100 bands, which, you know, is $100,000. $100, I don't think, but
$100,000.
Just a, yeah, a commentary on the cost of healthcare in this country, and just fuck a watch is just so funny. Like, you see this hospital band? This is more expensive than any watch you got on.
Which is so funny because it's almost like the Jesus character laughing at, you know, the mental trauma he's going through. He's just, everything's a joke.
Right, like instead of spending $100,000 on a fancy watch, I'm just going to spend it on a fucking hospital wristband.
Yeah.
And be proud of it.
Instead of taking the fact that I was hospitalized seriously, I'm just making jokes about it. It wasn't anything. Like, I got this band now, fuck whatever watch. Like, this shit was expensive, ha. Huh? It's like, you were in the hospital for, like, serious issues. Like, can we be serious about this? 100 grand will make your best friends turn to ops. Kind of calls back to real friends, or, I mean, people are wondering if this maybe alludes to the fact Pusha said that Drake was offering $100,000 for info on Pusha T and Kanye. Like, could he have added this in last minute? Because that was legitimately like 2 days before this album came out, which I don't...
Oh, he definitely could have.
He could have. I don't think so.
They were doing... I mean, they were adding stuff to fucking Nasir like hours before it came out.
They seriously were, which is crazy.
Well, this happened with Yeezus too, right? Rick Rubin said he didn't record any of his lyrics until like the last minute, basically.
Yeah. And he did add a part about Drake last minute that has been confirmed, which was in No Mistakes, right?
Yeah, it was the light skin line.
Ice cube too close to snipe you. Truth told, I like you. Too bold to type you. Too rich to fight you. Calm down, you light skin.
Which I mean, if you're adding that, a line to the end of the verse might be easier to add than this, but I mean, how hard would it be just to record this verse? But it could also just be referring to the fact that after his hospitalization, people were offering money for details on what happened. Like, was he going crazy? Like, what went on there? And people were maybe giving info. So it could be specific, it could just be generic, it could just be paranoia. But I hear you all bringing my name up a lot. So he's now introducing this you, which could be the public, social media, it could be media. But people are bringing up his name a lot. See, y'all really shocked, but I'm really not. This could be in response to everything that's going on with him regarding the hospitalization, or it could be with everything that's been going on since April 25th with the Donald Trump stuff, the TMZ stuff. Which the song already has been addressing in the first verse. So see, y'all really shocked, but I'm really not. And his evidence of that is just, you know, how many girls I took to the titty shop.
How many girls I took to the titty shop? If she get the ass with it, that's a 50 pop. I still bring the bad bitches in the city, yeah.
Which is like kind of a crazy line. He's basically saying like, oh, you think this behavior is bad? Like, you don't know all the crazy shit I've done.
Yeah, I've been taking all these girls to the titty shop. But the sad thing about that line, the really sad thing, which maybe, I mean, people may be upset with even drawing the connection, but the surgery that Donda went in for that ended up being the surgery that resulted in the complications that caused her passing was a breast reduction. So it just seems really kind of bizarre to have him bragging about taking girls to the titty shop in this way when his mom died from plastic surgery.
Yeah, it's like the 100 bands fuck a watch line. Again, it's just somebody who's just completely oblivious to the realities of what's going on and trying to make jokes about it.
Yeah, if she get the ass with it, that's a 50 pop. Like, damn. Which is 50 pop trying to relate it to 50 cents and titty shop candy shop?
I take you to the candy shop.
According to Genius, it is.
Again, it feels like a bit of a walk to me.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we already had this track itself is so braggadocio, and we already have him getting into the 100 bands and 100 grand and now 50 pop. It's almost like he's just having money as a motif in this verse. But $50,000 plastic surgery for ass enhancements. Wow. Wow.
Man, oh, fuck. I'm just, like, trying to wrap my head around this connection between spending money on basically his mental health versus spending money on women that he was fucking. Fuck.
Yeah.
There's a contrast like, there.
Well, even that, yeah, but maybe this is a walk, but spending that kind of money on the women that were essentially inflating his ego is almost like mental upkeep for the Yeezus character in a really fucked up way.
It gets back to Blood on the Leaves kind of stuff. You're spending money on these women, and that's just part of the Blood on the Leaves. You're getting this very superficial thing out of it. They're getting this superficial thing out of it, and you're both ruining each other. And where he had that awareness on Yeezus, it's like there's a regression to just going back to that behavior.
The behavior that brings out the bad bitches.
I still bring the bad bitches in the city, yeah. Just a different type of leader. We could be in North Korea. I could smoke a Wiz Khalifa, Told my wife I never seen it. After I hit it by Felicia, that's the way that I'ma leave it up.
I still bring the bad bitches in the city out. Like, oh, do you? Do you? Do you? Do you?
Why don't you ask it one more time?
No.
Okay, cool.
That's the only child in Chris.
Is it? Is it? Is it?
Is it? One more time?
No. Just a different type of leader, which just cracks me up. is saying that he himself is a different type of leader, and under his leadership, talking in the future tense all of a sudden, where we had been in the present, you're bringing my name up, I bring the bad bitches, now it's future, we could be in North Korea, I could smoke with Wiz Khalifa, which might seem a weird connection, and our best idea about that connection is just the fact that Kanye had a huge Twitter fight with Wiz Khalifa in 2016 regarding Kanye attempting maybe to name his album Waves, and Wiz being like, that's Max B shit, like fuck you, and then saying he was
Yeah, I thought this was about the Wiz Khalifa saying the KK thing and Kanye misunderstanding.
Well, that's it was initially the Wave thing is what started this confrontation between Wiz and Kanye, which is why when Wiz said hit this KK, Kanye took such a front to it because Kanye thought it was like,
without understanding it.
Yeah, Kanye thought it was Wiz subtweeting him because they had just had this conflict. But it was,
and then he went Yeezus on him.
Yeah, it was just a name. Like Khalifa's weed is called Khalifa Kush, so that's all that it was, like KK. But then Kanye wrote, I think it was like 20 tweets about Wiz Khalifa saying like he owns his children and like dresses like a child and all this shit. Like got trapped by a porn star or got trapped by a stripper. And then eventually apologized and deleted all the tweets. But in mirroring that is Trump has had a very vocal Twitter, one-sided Twitter battle with Kim Jong-un, where he's called him Rocket Man and said that his button was bigger than Kim Jong-un's regarding like nuclear launching capabilities. So there was tension with America and North Korea, specifically through Donald Trump and Twitter going on. So it's almost Kanye saying, like, we could be in North Korea because I'd make up for whatever Trump was doing on Twitter, and I could smoke the Wiz Khalifa, see, making up for whatever I did with Wiz Khalifa.
I don't know about that because I don't think Kanye is going to be making like anti-Trump statements in that kind of way. I think it's almost pro-Trump. I think the different type of leader is taking off not pro-Trump policies, whatever. I'm not saying Trump support, not going there. But I am saying what Kanye has said is that he is, many times, is that he's inspired by Trump and he loves Trump. And one of the things he said recently is that Trump made him realize that he could be president. You know, there's no barrier stopping him. And one thing Trump has said many times is that I'm not presidential, I'm modern presidential. About his tweets and everything that everybody's saying, you know, that it's not presidential to communicate in the way you do. And he says, well, I'm not presidential, I'm modern presidential, which goes right into that line, a different type of leader, which I think Kanye relates to. He's basically saying, you know, the old guard ways are dead. The doors are open now. I'm inspired by this because I feel like now I could be president. There's no gatekeeping stopping me. If Trump can be president, I can be president. So it's almost like he's saying, like Trump, I could be a different kind of leader, and you know, we could be in North Korea and I could smoke with Wiz Khalifa and still be president.
Yeah. I feel like that was what I was saying. Just I said it more long-winded and you said it much nicer. Told my wife I've never seen her. What a transition. I could smoke with Wiz Khalifa. Told my wife I've never seen her. So now we're back to the bad bitches in the city. You know how many girls I've taken to the titty shop kind of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, supposed to undermine, you know, this leadership he's declaring. You know, he can make world peace and smoke with one of his enemies. But don't tell my wife that you saw me with her. Like, he suddenly becomes, like, regressive, like a scared teenager. Like, oh, shit, like, don't let her know I was cheating on her.
Right, which sounds an awful lot like Bound 2, you know, where he's feeling a little worried about domesticity and, you know, drones in the house.
Yeah.
Basically emasculating him for feeling that way.
Watch your mouth. Jerome's in the house. Watch your mouth. Your mouth. Bam.
He gets that masculinity back by After I Hit It by Felicia. That's the way that I'm gonna leave it up. Just like, eh, what a gross man. It's not a, all in all, the verse is not a nice portrait of Kanye, right?
I don't know, I think he's kind of sweet.
Cuddly, even.
I think you're thinking of Little...
Kid Cuddly.
Little Ye. Oh, Kid Cuddly. Oh. Wow. Okay. I like that.
That's good. Like that.
So we have this, again, a ramping up in the second verse that leads to the chorus where when we start to get the shit could be menacing, frightening, find help, instead you just get the counter of, see, this is why all the bitches fuck with Ye.
Yeah. Menacing, see, this is why all the bitches fuck with Ye. Fuck what they talk about.
Sometimes I scare
take me on myself, off mass, ask yourself.
Shit could get menacing, frightening.
Ask your homegirl right help. Now. Look, you had a
sometimes
shot at Ye.
I scare myself, myself.
Fuck what they all talk about. And what they all talk about is all the stuff that Kanye's been saying huh to in the first verse, the stuff that he's referencing in the second verse about people being shocked and bringing his name up. It's like, fuck everybody else. Everything that I'm saying here and doing here, this is why everybody fucks with me. The mania is just taking over and it's interrupting whatever alarm he was sending out to everybody.
Right. I think just the sonic construction of this too is so fascinating, because you have the song beginning with Ye saying, I'm scared of this behavior. Then you go into Yeezus, you know, doing his Yeezus thing. Then you come back to Ye again saying he's scared of it. Then you come back to Yeezus again, and now the two collide and are literally talking over each other, like trading lines. And then the rest of the song, Yeezus just takes over.
Yeah, I was going to say, the outro is just Yeezus, like, you know, right, tearing it up.
Yep.
So what you're saying is this song is essentially Watch the Throne 2.
Well, it's not quite at that level, since that has Liftoff.
Legitimately, I went from smiling, like excited about what you're going to say, to dropping my head. I just didn't see it coming.
You know, you gotta keep on your toes, man.
I feel so dirty now.
Do you want to hear some of it?
We gon' take it to the moon, take it to the stars. How many people you
know? Oh, God.
So then we get, they take me on meds, off meds, ask yourself, which gets into the mental health stuff, which is this the only time on the album that he mentions the medication? And it just happens to be the song where we see both sides kind of going at each other?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's very purposeful to mention that in this song. And on meds, off meds is scary in and of itself. Because we know in the TMZ interview, he talked about not always taking his medication the way that he should, which had people being like, oh no, that's very dangerous. So if with this blow up right here, it seems like a very off meds kind of thing.
That, I mean, of all the stuff Kanye was saying in the lead up to this, the only thing that made me genuinely concerned is in that TMZ interview when he said, you know, they prescribed me meds and then my friends told me this is how they kill a genius, so I stopped taking it and was like, ooh, that doesn't sound good. Like, someone very close to me is bipolar and, like, you need to take those meds, man.
Yeah, not a great friend.
No.
Mm-mm. Then we get, ask yourself, ask your homegirl right now. Look, you had a shot at Ye, you drop everything. Which is just crazy to think that he's telling somebody to say, like, ask your girlfriend or your friend and be like, what would you do if you had a shot at Ye? And him to answer the question for everyone and say, you drop everything.
Well, can you blame them? Because, I mean, her man might try his best, but he's never going to get Kanye fresh.
You're very right. You know, I heard one time he took Nori shopping and bought the $10,000 furry, just copped it. And that's something I wouldn't do.
And he can get everyone's girl, you know, even without a watch. Just a hospital band.
I like to see somebody try that. You see this hospital band?
Costs $100,000.
So my place or your place?
Oh god. Is that your pickup line, yeah. Chris?
A glimpse into Chris's dating life.
I am happily engaged to a saint.
Was that, did you use it on her?
No. But I did have in my Tinder profile, really like Kanye. God.
Okay.
I feel like people should know that if they're going to date you.
Yeah.
It seemed necessary. Very necessary.
And you, in your Tinder profile, yeah, it's just like, you know, just, you should probably know I spend literally hours and hours every week discussing Kanye.
It was before the podcast even existed. That's how dedicated I was.
For the sake of the joke, Chris.
Oh, yeah. So I just don't joke about my relationship, man. All right, so we come back into verse 3 with the huzz being the first four lines, which gets back to Kanye talking about what people are saying about him.
Tweaking, tweaking out that 2CB, huh? This is why your bitches fuck with me, huh? Smash, she gon' end up on TV, huh? Last thing that you ever wanna see, huh?
Tweaking, tweaking off that 2CB. This is why your bitches fuck with me. And even though he just said that, this is why you fuck with me, in this very manic, non-musical way, he brings it back in this verse. It sounds way more controlled. This is why your bitches fuck with me, huh? But also throws a little bit of that irony in there with the huh. What do you two make of that?
It's like, is the irony still there, I guess? Obviously, I guess it is. I don't know.
I think it's just more, you know, it's just, again, it just sounds like he's just being a clown to me. Like, he's just throwing out so much insane bravado to the point where he's saying that he could literally take anyone's partner away from them. I mean, it's crazy. He's not even addressing anyone. He's just shouting shit into the void.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
And yet, Travis, what you were saying, in the first verse when he's using the huh, it feels very sarcastic. But here it feels a bit more pointed.
Yeah.
Like, smash, you're gonna end up on TV, huh? Like, that's what's gonna happen. And that's the last thing you ever want to see, huh? Like, talking to these guys whose bitches want to fuck with him.
Yeah, it stops being a joke to him. It becomes like, this is why your bitches fuck with me.
Yeah. He's being very mean.
A little meanie.
What a jerk.
I think that's the real takeaway. Yeezus is mean.
Yeah, that Yeezus. But after we get more of this ego and the sarcasm kind of falling away, to where he's very serious about this at this point, he transitions into, I can feel the spirits all around me.
I can feel the spirits all around me. I've been pricking bikers trying to warn me. They know I got demons all on me. Devil been trying to make an army. They been strategizing the army. They don't know they dealing with a zombie.
Which is a huge jump going from these women want to fuck him, or just people want to listen to his music, whatever, that he can feel spirits all around him. And Prince and Mike was trying to warn me.
That's quite a transition from the Yeezus, you know, doing all this, as you said, sort of ironic preening to just, I can feel the spirits all around me. I mean, just the sound of those words compared to the last four lines is such a sharp contrast.
Is that what happens when you're tweaking off 2CB?
Oh, shit.
Which is a mild psychedelic. People have some hallucinations.
And then there's DMT, which is a not so mild psychedelic.
No. And if he had died and lived again on DMT, him being able to feel spirits all around him would not be shocking. So then he gets Prince and Mike was trying to warn him. Prince and Mike both were famous musicians and both passed away from drug overdosing or just complications from drugs.
You know, I just need to listen a little bit closer and I might regret even bringing this up, but are we 100% sure he's saying, I think Prince and Mike was trying to warn me? Because I always thought it sounded like you saying is. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? Fuck. No, I mean, it always sounds like is to me, which I think plays into the present tense of what we're hearing, that I know, you know, they know I got demons all on me, which is also present. And if they're now ghosts and spirits all around him, they wouldn't really be in the past tense. They would be there right now.
Yeah, because there's also an element of this entire song where you wonder if, like, he's just tripping on drugs the entire song. Like, he's not just saying, like, oh, they thought I was going to OD. Like, he's actually just, like, going through the shit right now and seeing spirits and ghosts and shit.
It could be saying that Prince and Mike passing was them trying to warn him, like, stay away from drugs.
Yeah, I mean, they both died of, wasn't it? It was opioids for both of them, wasn't it?
I believe so. And that was the thing that Kanye said that he was taking too much of. So that's scary. He could have ended up just like Prince and Mike.
Oh, shit. Do you think these lines could almost go back into that what he said in the interview, which is, you know, these pills are how they kill genius, which is basically like Prince and Mike were geniuses who took these prescribed pills and died. And so it's almost like he's got all these demons on him trying to push him into that same fate. And like the devil's trying to make an army of these ghosts, basically, where, you know, interpret devil to be whatever you want it to be, like, you know, culture, the white majority, whatever. I mean, just trying to basically kill off these geniuses, you know?
Yeah, it's a loaded line. And what's not necessarily funny, but in the wake of Kanye's slavery line and Trump stuff, Ta-Nehisi Coates, a famous thinker, I guess at this point, journalist who's become kind of a think piece guy, speaking for culture, speaking specifically about Black culture, wrote an article saying, it was, I'm not Black, I'm Kanye. And he compared Michael Jackson's rise in celebrity and loss of Blackness, literal physical loss of Blackness, to his death, and then started to compare Kanye's now lack or loss of Blackness in Black culture to a path that's pointing towards potentially an early demise like Michael Jackson, which I still think is kind of a gross article to write, but it's interesting that people are noting him being on a similar path to Michael Jackson.
I mean, I think he is kind of acknowledging that here. Just even thinking about Kitsy Ghosts and how he does recall MJ and, you know, the interpolation we pointed out in Feel the Love. And he uses a sample from Kurt Cobain and Keddy Montage. Like, I feel like he's recalling, you know, all these celebrities who went through the shit. And he's just, like, looking to not make the same mistakes.
So those demons all on me, is that the they, Prince of Mike? Is it they who he is referring to earlier with they take me on meds, off meds, all of that? They all know he's got demons on him. Prince and Mike know he's got demons on him. What are those demons? There's a few large takeaways, which Jordan, you pointed out some. I think it's the most interesting part of the song.
Yeah, it's interesting too that they, again, we come right back into that Yeezus protecting the inner core Ye. When he's, again, saying, you know, they've been strategizing to harm me. They don't know they're dealing with a zombie, which I think sounds, again, like, yay, Yeezus just rose again. He died and lived again on DMT, and he's protecting that vulnerable core that Kanye has always had. So it's just this outward monster deflecting all of the harm people are trying to put on him at all times, and as far as he sees it.
Yeah, that is a good thing to know, because, like, and I thought about Killing You, where he says all you gotta do is speak on Ye. Like, he is very defensive of Ye.
They wanna see me go, hey, hey, hey. All you gotta do is speak on Ye. All you gotta do is speak on Ye.
I mean, that's the whole reason for his existence, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That last line is all you gotta do is speak on Ye. Not the last line, but the penultimate, all you gotta do is speak on Ye. And then this entire song is about people speaking on Ye.
Right.
Fuck, we should have noted that.
And then he goes full Kanye, or full Yeezus. Wow. But the zombie line could also refer to his car crash, that he could have died in that car crash and is still alive, which has made him a zombie, which isn't necessarily a negative thing here. Or the zombie, if you take too much medication, you can be like a zombie. But the monster reference I like. I like. He says that people have been trying to test my Gandhi.
Niggas been trying to test my Gandhi. Just because I'm dressed like Abercrombie.
Which, when Kanye came back to Twitter, he was very, like, love everybody, peace, nonviolence, Gandhi-esque. People didn't quite let that play out.
Yeah. Ebro did not appreciate it.
No, a lot of people are even saying then, when he's talking like very conscious and love everybody, that he was losing his mind.
I think the real theme of his return to Twitter was really that love is everything.
Jordan, you said you weren't going to mention Jay-Z.
I didn't mention Jay-Z. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure whatever Jay-Z and whatever artists may be working with him are up to is totally original and not related to anything that's going on with Kanye.
Jordan, you can't come on our show without completely insulting Jay-Z.
I said Jay-Z's an original. If you listen back, that's all that can be proved I said.
That's true.
So trying to test my Gandhi just because I'm dressed like Abercrombie, which, as far as we can tell, this is a call to the clothing line Abercrombie and Fitch, which, because we don't know a famous Abercrombie that he could be referring to.
I never once considered that.
Yeah. I mean, we know a famous Gandhi, you know, but I don't know a famous Abercrombie. Really?
I've never heard of Gandhi.
Oh, man. He's this great character in Civilization, the game series. You know, he's just always nuking people. Should give it a shot. The man was a madman. But Abercrombie and Fitch was a predominantly popular clothing store with white teenagers. Upper middle class, mostly wealthy. Like in 2001, a sweatshirt at Abercrombie was $70. Jeans could be...
Would you say it might be the kind of store that might sell a polo?
They did have a lot of polos.
Hmm.
Kanye ever wear a polo?
I don't think so. I think that was Jay-Z.
This is interesting, though, because, I mean, as we noted, Kanye comes back to Twitter and is saying, like, love everyone, and all people can say is he's... You know, he says he loves Trump, and the reaction is you're blind to all the terrible things he's doing to black people. So I guess the connection here is just because I'm dressed like Abercrombie, like they're saying he's dressed like a white person. He's just like, he's not one for the black people anymore.
Which is kind of what Russell Simmons was saying, right? I mean,
yeah.
Anybody who thinks this clearly is not well.
Testing is Gandhi.
Right. I mean, but this is the kind of thing people have been saying about Kanye forever, essentially. It's just that because of his persona and the way he conducts himself, and you know, he's a rapper, and frankly he's a black man, that he can't possibly be capable of all these deep thoughts and insights. And I think, you know, that kind of thing plays out a lot too, with even just the reaction to analyzing his music to the degree that, you know, like this podcast does, for example. A lot of people's default is just, you're reaching, you're looking too hard, this stuff is not that deep, it's just surface level. I mean, it's so condescending. I mean, it's basically just saying, like, because of who he is,
yeah,
it's not worthy of analysis, you know? I mean, people have been saying some variation of that about Kanye since he's been Kanye.
Meanwhile, storytellers and artists have been doing this kind of storytelling and artistry forever.
I mean, not Kanye, though. That's ridiculous.
Not at Kanye's level.
He's not like a Jay-Z level artist or anything.
Well, of course not. I would never.
No, that song Ape Shit is so much deeper than anything on Ye. Oh, God, I want to punch myself in the face for saying that. Did it feel good to say? So we get the Abercrombie line, and we transition to the outro.
You see? You see? That's what I'm talking about. That's why I fuck with Ye. See, that's my third perk. That's my bipolar shit, nigga. What? That's my superpower, nigga. Ain't no disability. I'm a superhero. I'm a superhero. Yeah!
And it's just the mania at this point. The music's done. Mm-hmm. At least the musical aspects of Kanye rapping are just gone. And it's just him saying, you see, almost like a breaking of the fourth wall. That's what I'm talking about. Like, he's so hyped that he just rapped this song and he's like already celebrating what he's done on this track. That's why I fuck with Ye. See, that's my third
it's
person.
A superpower.
Ah, he even ends by referring to himself in the third person and disassociating.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's my bipolar shit. What? Calls it out right there.
Yep. And I mean, this whole last section is so Yeezus-esque. There's so much irony. All I can think of whenever I hear this is just I am a god all over again.
I am a god. Hurry up with my damn massage. Hurry up with my damn menage. Get the Porsche out the damn garage. I am a god. Even though I'm a man of God. My whole life in the hand of God. So y'all better quit playing with God.
Soon he's basically saying things he knows aren't true. Just like, I'm a god. We know he's not. He doesn't actually. He knows he's not a god, basically. He's saying the opposite of what he means. And just like an I am a god, he ends it with that trapped, desperate scream. Because, I mean, what else is there left to say except just screaming in desperation?
He's trying to claim this is a superpower, ain't no disability, which can be great, like, to embrace that as a view of yourself, but it can tip too far. The same way with I am a god. Empowering yourself in that way can be a good thing, but it can tip into something much more manic, much more severe. Calls himself a superhero, which is an interesting callback to I Thought About Killing You, where he says that he doesn't see capes on other people.
Niggas say they hero, I don't see no cape, I don't see no, yeah, I don't see no,
And now he's saying he's a superhero, which would imply he has a cape.
And we know the real meaning is he knows that he's not a superhero.
No, this is, especially with the title, just yikes, yikes. And how manic he's getting by the end with the scream. The only thing you could say at the end of this is just yikes, not, yeah, you know what, I agree.
And just like, again, with the movement of the song and just how Yeezus has slowly seeped in more and more until he's just kind of blown up at the end. Like, he's at his full superhero strength at the end. It's fucking nuts.
And again, this all plays into what I was saying earlier. I mean, he looks at being bipolar as a superpower, you know, and he lets that out and he unleashes it in this song. And it's only by, again, embracing that so-called, you know, disability, as he refutes, that he kind of the bipolar the manic levels kind of even out and all just become one by the end of the album.
It's almost like how people will try to stop somebody from doing something, which only makes them want to do it more. It's only when you let them just go and do that thing that they learn on their own, like, no, shouldn't have done that, won't do that again. So that does it for the analysis part.
God. You sound so defeated.
I'm just feeling so out of it right now.
Yeah, time to plug some shit.
Yes. As we're recording this, it's June 18th, which means the Yeezus book is finally out, available for purchase. Physical copies are going to be going out. E-copies are available. So if you want to grab that, kingshotpress.com, Amazon, the book is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's a complete deconstruction of the narrative on Yeezus, the Yeezus store, the production of Yeezus, pretty much anything that went into making that album.
Yeah, along with, because it's an academic book, but also a coffee table book, you get a lot of really cool design choices, layouts, art that fills up the book, especially the Blood on the Leaves art. I think that might be one of my favorite parts.
Can also support us by either just leaving a review on iTunes or subscribing to us, or you can support us on patreon.com/Kanye Podcast, where you can donate as little as $1 a month. And the more you donate, the more perks you get, and all the money helps us put out a better show. Maybe.
Maybe. And then you can follow us on Twitter at Kanye Podcast for a pretty constant stream of Kanye conversation, just with the Twitter Kanye community.
And Jordan, who's on Twitter too.
I am?
Or are you like Jason Mantzoukas?
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter. No, I am on Twitter, at @fifth_opinion.
Yay.
What a roller coaster that was.
Also the name of a podcast, a defunct one, but one you should still listen to.
Yes, my podcast called Fifth_Opinion.
Really weird that you spelled out the word underscore.
Yeah, it's, you know, it really stood in the way of the show's popularity, I think, in the end.
People kept trying to find you, and they couldn't find anything.
Yeah, it's no spaces, all one word.
I like how avant-garde you went with it, you know?
Yeah. I really, my goal was to make it as difficult as possible for people to find the show.
You did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, well, join us next week for All Mine.
Where it'll be all ours.
Until then, keep it wavy.
And loopy. Yeah, you supermodel, tell that ass bustin' out the bottom. I'ma lose my mind in it. Crazy, I'ma do the obligato. Get the rubbin' on my lap, get the chini out the bottom. Fuck it up, fuck it up. Pussy good, gon' back it up. Pipe up, I'ma pipe up. Make your mind out of bed.